I cannot wait to get away from you all. Now, don't take that the wrong way. It's just that every Advent for the last 12 or 14 years, I have been doing something that I found that I needed for myself and I needed for my ministry. And that was to begin the season of waiting and longing, the season of hoping and dreaming, by getting away for a couple of days to ground myself in Scripture, to read, to pray, to get in my kayak, to take my camera, to breathe, to just be for a little while. And so this afternoon, after I stop in at the women's tea, they won't want me to stay long. It's the women's tea, after all. I'm going to make my way to the beach and have 2 days surrounded by my books and surrounded by that beautiful space to breathe and just be. I'll miss you. I'll think of you, but I'll be glad to be away from you for a few days too. Don't take that personally. Just be. It was on my way to my Advent retreat last year that I noticed these billboards along the side of Route 50 as you make your way over to Route 404 and then eventually to the Delaware coast. And they were advertising a community very close to the one where we have a place, and our place is in Bayville Shores, and there's this place called Bayside. And they had a wonderful marketing campaign going that just be relaxed. Just be joyful. Just be playful. And in my Advent state of mind, I made a mental note. I said, those are Advent words. Just be. And so I tucked them away, and then we came together as a staff, and earlier this fall as we were planning, we settled on that theme, just be in the presence of God. Now, it's not that easy to do, because we are used to doing rather than being. We are used to moving from one activity to the next. As a matter of fact, I had somebody say to me in Fellowship Hall during the 9:30 service, one of our high school students, it was so hard to sit in church and be still today, even in the middle of my sermon. And it might be for you. You'll get to try that out for yourself. It's hard to sit still. How many of you are familiar with something out there in the culture called the mannequin challenge? Anyone know that? The mannequin challenge on the surface sounds like it's pretty silly or pretty simple. Like, what's all that? Because all it is a group of people getting together in some fashion and just freezing and standing still in a pose for 30 seconds, for 40 seconds. But it's happening all over the place. It's happening in preschools where this teacher was having them take a pose and see if they could hold it and stand still for 30 seconds. It happens on the Today Show with all of the hosts of the Today Show, and they all sort of took their pose and stood there, or sat there in their case, for 30 seconds. It's happening at weddings. Many weddings now, they're dancing along to a song, and then all of a sudden there's this freeze frame moment, and they will stand. And like in this picture, that bottle that looks like it's dropping is actually on a string, and it will stay there for the entire time of the freeze. Now, to really appreciate these, you have to see the videos. We don't have time to do the videos of the 30 or 40 seconds. It's happening among celebrities. A lot of celebrities are posting these. So there's LeBron James and the First Lady. It's happening in sports celebrations. Sometimes you see guys score a touchdown, and two or three of them come together, and they'll just freeze for a second. And it's happening among the commentators about the sports as well. This is one of the most impressive ones I found. This is the Texas A&M gymnastics squad that did their own mannequin challenge, and they held that pose for like 40 seconds. Can you imagine that? 40 seconds. This is the U.S. women's water polo team. And check out their video online. It's pretty amazing. They hold this underwater as if they're suspended in time and space for like 40 seconds. This wonderful stillness. And then just down in Annapolis a couple of weeks ago at the Naval Academy, the Navy was playing Tulsa, and all the middies did their own mannequin challenge, and they posed in cheering sections and like arms around each other, and so this sort of made national news. Anyone at the game and see them do the mannequin challenge? You saw them do the challenge, right? And they just froze in place. Now, it doesn't sound like much to just sit still, but it really is hard, isn't it? It's hard because our lives feel like they are spinning out of control because it feels like to go slow or to stand still in a place where so much is happening around us. And the pace of things is drawing us and driving us. It's really, really hard to step back from that and stand still. I'm going to explain this graph to you in a second. It comes from a book, Thomas Friedman's newest book, called Thank You for Being Late. The title comes from the fact that Thomas Friedman, who's a journalist and the author of The World is Flat and From Beirut to Jerusalem, a brilliant journalist. I had a chance to hear him speak and get to meet him at a sort of a fundraising breakfast in Bethesda. He lives in Bethesda, and it's a support of a local ministry that the churches were involved with. Just a brilliant mind. And this new book comes from the fact that he will often engage people over breakfast and get together at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7:30. But if you've lived in the D.C. area like I have for a while, you know that it's hard to get anywhere fast. And so often people would come 10 or 15 minutes late to this breakfast with him, these conversations that he'd set up. And he started saying to them, thank you for being late. He wasn't saying it in a sarcastic kind of way. He was saying it like he meant it, because what he found was in that waiting time, he had breathing space. He had some found time in his schedule that he wasn't expecting. And so he really was grateful. It was not a bad thing that people were showing up late on him once in a while, because he could just breathe. He could just be. It was not the next thing that he had to do. Anyway, getting back to his book, the subtitle is called An Optimist's Guide to Thriving in an Age of Accelerations. We are living, he says, in the age of accelerations. And if you don't believe me, all you have to do is look around at the ways that our world have been changed in medicine and technology, in our ways that we do our work, in the ways that we live, in the ways that we access information. It is everywhere around us, and the pace and the speed is just picking up faster and faster and faster. He quotes an IBM vice president who talks about, we live as human beings in a linear world where distance, time, and velocity are linear. So this is sort of that line, is human adaptability. We human beings are used to living in a linear way, and we are used to adapting to things over the course of, say, a generation or two. You know, think about the invention of the telephone. That was an amazing thing, but we got used to it, right? We had a way, we lived with it for a while, and then the cell phone came. And the cell phone that became a computer, and then the exponential change that happened with that. The technology is no longer on a linear pace, but we live in an exponential world, he says. And he says the closest thing we have to understand that bodily and physically is the acceleration we experience in a car. You know, when a car goes from 0 to 60, or a roller coaster goes from 0 to 60. We feel ourselves sort of hurtling in motion. We feel the pull of that. He says it's okay for us to do that for a little bit. You know, just that initial acceleration. But can you imagine accelerating from Baltimore all the way up to New York? Accelerating the whole way. But that's been the pace of change around us. We are living in a world where all these things are accelerating around us. We are living in this age of acceleration. No wonder so many of us feel a little bit disoriented or a little bit behind, or we're always trying to catch up, is because everything is changing around us so fast, so fast. And the technology is leading the way. Here's a good example of that. Have anyone's ever heard of Moore's Law? Raise your hand if you've heard of Moore's Law. A couple people. Yeah, good. We got some scientists here, some people, engineers perhaps. Moore's Law said that computer technology and computer chips were every 2 years going to become twice as fast, they were going to become twice as efficient, they were going to become half as expensive, and for almost 50 years that pattern has held. Almost like clockwork. They just kept, even when they didn't think they could make anything smaller, right, or anything faster every time. So for example, in 1971, the Intel chip, the 4004, compared with the Intel chip now that's being produced, the Intel Core Processor Generation 6, the Core Processor is 3,500 times more performance. It's 90,000 times more energy efficient. And it is 60,000 times lower in cost since 1971. That's exponential change. That's not linear change. That's why our world feels so fast, because everything has a chip in it right now. And everything's moving fast, and we're used to information flowing like that. And our refrigerators are smarter than we are now, right? They have chips in them too. He said, now imagine that instead of a chip, you're talking about a Volkswagen VW, a little Beetle, right? So that would mean that a 1971 Volkswagen Beetle improved at the same rate as these microchips. The Beetle would be able to go about 300,000 miles per hour today. It would get 2 million miles per gallon of gas, and it would cost 4 cents. That's how much that core technology has changed just since 1971. It's moving faster and faster, and our lives, our ability to keep up with it is harder and harder. No wonder we always find ourselves breathless. There's a time of year that accelerates for us too. It's called December, right? It's the season leading up to Christmas when we feel like we are out of control, but the pace of things is dragging us and drawing us to Christmas so fast we're hurtling, accelerating all the way there. And the church, in its wisdom, created a season called Advent so that we wouldn't get to Christmas all at once, so that we would have 4 Sundays and 4 weeks to prepare ourselves, prepare our hearts, sort of like speed bumps along the way, to just slow us down intentionally, to invite us into some stillness and reflection. Pico Iyer, who's famous for his TED Talk and then his book on the art of stillness, says, in an age of speed, I began to think nothing could be more invigorating than going slow. In an age of distraction, nothing could feel more luxurious than paying attention. And here's the kicker. In an age of constant movement, nothing is more urgent than sitting still. This is the church's answer. This is the church's antidote to a culture that is wild with speed. Here's a season that invites us to slow down and to breathe and to just be in the presence of God. Now, the psalmist, writing even centuries before the season of Advent was created, the psalmist knew this too. And I love the language of the psalm, because the psalm, even before all of the technological changes that I've been talking about, knew that sometimes the world feels like it's out of control. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though the waters roar, though the mountains shake, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Though everything else around us is in tumult, as the psalm says, everything else is churning around us, everything is moving faster than we can keep up with, the good news is that God is our refuge and our strength, the one who is in the middle of the city, the one who is in the middle of our lives. And so that psalm culminates with that very famous verse, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. So we're inviting you into a season of stillness and waiting and just being. We've sort of pared back this season a little bit. We don't have quite as many special events. We still have a tea this afternoon, and next week is Carol's Cookies and Crafts for our children and for our families. But, for example, we've incorporated our big Christmas musical, if you will, into a Sunday morning. So there's not a special another thing you have to come and add to your calendar. So on the 18th, we'll be Just Be Together, and music from all over the world, Christmas traditions from all over the world. Great extravaganza right here on Sunday morning. We decided with Lee to not offer a whole bunch of small groups this year during Advent. We often have a bunch of small groups that are meeting. But we're instead resourcing you with Advent devotional and some other Advent resources that'll be online so that you can be at home with your families, that you can be at home creating your own breathing space. There will be a Wednesday night gathering for the young adults still and for the young children, the wonder of Christmas, but we're not doing a lot more than that. So you can just be. So next week we'll be looking at being patient, and the week after that Mary's story, being open and being together as we celebrate the music. And when we come to Christmas Eve, we're going to just stand there amazed like Mary, holding this treasure in her heart. Be amazed. And then Christmas Day, we'll gather in one service, and be playful. Invite the kids to bring their presents. Invite space and breathing space among us to just be. Now, here's your assignment for the week. I'm going to encourage you to take 5 minutes, or 10, or if you're really bold and adventurous, 15 minutes of silence and stillness every day this week. Try it this week, and then maybe carry it over for the rest of the season. And to give us some practice, I'm going to take this piece of technology that sometimes feels like it's the thing that drives our lives. It's the thing that speeds everything up. And I'm going to put a timer on. And right now, we're going to take 3 minutes. 3 minutes. And just breathe. Just pray. Just listen. Maybe your hands, palms up as you sit there. No agendas, no other instructions. To just be still. God, in this season of so much doing, so many places to go, so much to pack in, help us to trust you more, to love you more, to be grounded in your grace, and just be still. In the name of Christ, amen.